Good morning, Green Forest, and thank you all for joining us this morning for worship. I have a few announcements this morning. First and foremost, I want you to know if you've ordered a James 4:8 ministry shirt to help support the delivery partnership with Harps and or the sack lunches with the partnership with Harps, the shirts are made and I have them in, so if you'll contact me, I'll get those to you. They're $15 a piece. If you're interested in buying one, comment in the comment section and let us know. Also, friends, I want you to know that our Bible reading verses will be emailed out to all for those who are seeking to read through the Bible through the Old and New Testaments or just the New Testament. Those will be being put out not only through email but also on our Facebook page. And our prayer concerns. If you have any prayer concerns for the sake of privacy for those who are seeking prayers, I ask that either you send an email to the church or you call the church office phone and leave them with Ivy, and then we will email them out to the members of the congregation Tuesday morning. Our mission and ministry opportunities are still as they have been. We need our blessing boxes to be filled. We need to continue to find ways to fill the gap for the children and families who are suffering from food insecurities. We also need to be intentional about washing our hands and doing what needs to be done for our safety. I read an article yesterday that said Friday, almost 800 Italians died from the COVID-19, and then Saturday, almost 900. The numbers that are projected at the peak of this in the United States of America are astronomical. Friends, I want to remind you that our partnership with Harps is for the benefit of your safety. If you are in need of groceries or personal hygiene products, please call them and place the order online and let us deliver them to your door. Stay inside. Practice good wisdom, good practice wisdom and prudence during this time as we continue to wrestle with the uncertainties of the reality of our new world. One last announcement is this, and that is that Sister Pam Page of the Green Forest Assembly of God Church will have a drive-through on Tuesday 10 through 12 for the food pantry. She and Brother Mark will be there Tuesday again from 10 to 12, handing out baskets or sacks of groceries to all who are in need. So if you're able, make your way by there Tuesday between 10 and 12. Again, thank you for joining this morning. Let us begin our worship with a word of prayer. Father, we come here today and we are grateful, Lord, that through technology we are able to be connected to one another. And Lord, we're grateful that regardless of where we are, we're always connected to you. I thank you, Lord, for those who are working behind the scenes to keep the infrastructure of our nation up and going. The truck drivers, the conductors and engineers of our railroad, the nurses, the doctors, the orderlies who are keeping the hospitals open and serving in clinics. I pray for my pastor friends. I pray for my peers and colleagues across the world, across denominational lines who are this morning ministering in a new way because of this pandemic. I ask, Lord, that you give them confidence and peace and assurance as they continue to minister to their congregations and keep everyone connected. Lord, we pray for those who are ill, those who are on our prayer list, and God, we pray for those who have been impacted with the illnesses associated with COVID-19. We ask for your intervention into their situations, Lord. We ask, God, for your intervention into our world, that you'll bring about the healing and you'll eradicate this virus. We pray for the leaders of all nations that indifferences can be put aside for the common good of humanity. We pray that especially for the leadership of the United States of America, that our government will beat of one heartbeat and one breath in seeking to put all things in place so that this virus will not impact more lives than it already has. As we come together today, Lord, in your holy name, we ask that you let us feel your presence and your peace. May all that we do in this time of worship be pleasing, honoring to you in your sight. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Chris has got us a song this morning he's going to lead us in. One of our old-time favorites. One I think that we need to hear today. There's power in the blood.
There's one.
friends, every day to pray the blood of Jesus over you and your family, for your friends, your neighbors, our community. In the spirit of normalcy, we are going to continue our sermon series from the letters to the churches in Revelation. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time this morning, we have been intentional about following a pattern through our sermon time. This pattern begins by looking at a few historical facts about the churches and or the cities and communities where these churches were located. And then, after doing so, we read the scriptures and expound upon either the commendations or condemnations of each church. Then we conclude our sermon time with letting those church letters guide us individually in acknowledging specific challenges within our own lives, and hopefully we will incorporate these items into our sacrificial practices of Lent. Now, some of these may demand of us to repent from sinful actions. Some of them may just challenge us to be deliberate about removing certain obstacles like anxiety, fear, mistrust. You get the idea. All things that may be hindering us from having a greater awareness of God in our lives. So with all that being said, let's get started. As you go and grab your Bibles and begin searching for Revelation chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 18 through 19. I want to share with you that the city of Thyatira was a Greek outpost. Founded by a general of Alexander the Great, this city served as a barrier against aggression from the east. Now, this city, unlike the city of Sardis, had no natural fortification. Alexander put battle-tested veterans in residency there so that they could be ready to slow any hostile forces down that may be coming against them, while they built in-depth defense behind the city and behind the front lines. Now, despite this military presence, this city seems to be rather insignificant. In fact, it is the smallest city of the seven that received letters. But here's a bit of irony for us this morning. Even though it was the smallest city, it received the longest letter. Thyatira was a community driven by one major economic contributor. And this was the guilds or the trade unions of their day that made clothing with their distinct, unique dye color, which is somewhere between the purple I have on and the purple you see behind us. Now, within this industry were specific social norms. Just as every trade or business has a specified vernacular within its operating system, most companies have mission and vision statements that guide the social actions or interactions of its employees. The guilds of that day and the times of this letter writing had similar paradigms in place. Their association was closely linked with the religious life of the city. If one was to be a benefactor of the garment industry, there were social obligations that were encouraged to be practiced. And some of these social obligations centered on participation in pagan rituals and in pagan ceremonial banquets, which were often drunken orgies. And to get ahead, you see, one needed to participate. To abstain from these guild functions could result in a loss of business and social acceptance. Needless to say, being a Christian in their day wasn't career enhancing. Now, with all this in mind, let's go to our text, Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, and let's see what this letter has to say. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. You may be reading from something different, but I'll keep us abreast and by announcing what verse I'm reading. Starting in verse 18, it says, "Write this to the angel of the church in Thyatira. These are the words of God's Son, whose eyes are like a fiery flame and whose feet are like fine brass. I know your works, your love and faithfulness, your service and endurance. I also know that the works you have done most recently are even greater than those you did at first." Verse 20 says, "But I have this against you. You put up with that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. You allow her to teach and to mislead your servants into committing sexual immorality and eating food sacrificed to idols." I gave her time to change her heart and life, but she refuses to change her life of prostitution. Look, I'm throwing her onto a sick bed. I am casting those who have committed adultery with her into terrible hardships. If they don't change their hearts from following her practices, then I will even put her children to death with disease. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who examines minds and hearts, that I will give to each of you what your actions deserve. And for the rest of you in Thyatira, those of you who don't follow the teachings and haven't learned the so-called deep secrets of Satan, I won't burden you with anything else. Verse 25 says, just hold on to what you have until I come. To those who emerge victorious, keeping my practices until the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like pottery. Just as I received authority from my Father, I will also give them the morning star. If you can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Our tradition is to end by saying this is the word of God for the people of God. And usually folks respond saying, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Lord, as your Spirit inspired the writing of your word, may that Spirit, same Spirit, inspire the writing within our hearts today, encouraging us, equipping us, and challenging us to be fruitful and faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Now, understanding a little bit of the historical background of this community, we see there was a great deal of ungodliness within the community. Yet Jesus commends this church for certain things. He mentions specifically that they were known for their deeds, which were driven by their love, their faith, their service, and their perseverance. Four attributes that every Christian should recommit to daily. From our letter, we see that when individuals in a community are intentional about embracing and practicing these attributes, faith grows and love is strengthened. I mean, this is a sermon, right, within a sermon. But what happens when our means of income, or lack thereof, begin to justify deficiency of holiness within our lives? I mean, within our viewing audience this morning, we have some who are business executives, some who are living on fixed incomes, some who are climbing the corporate ladder, and some who are in the throes of financial uncertainty because of COVID-19. And regardless of where you may identify in these options, the question remains, are we willing to compromise our Christian integrity for the comforts and security of the Almighty Dollar? The condemnation found in this letter, I believe, is addressing this very issue. The reference to Jezebel is linked to the character found in 1 and 2 Kings. You might remember that she was the pagan wife of King Ahab. And her code of living led not only to Ahab's ruin, but also infected the whole nation of Israel. Scripture says Jezebel was responsible for killing scores of prophets and attempted to have even Elijah murdered. She was the epitome of wickedness and immorality because of the lust for power and domination that lived within her heart. So our scriptures this morning could be speaking specifically about false teachings and immorality. In my day, we'd call that sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Or it could be speaking about the lust that fills the hearts of many when it comes to the control of their money. For the sake of this sermon, I would choose the latter. And let me tell you why. Every one of us are going to face the same challenge because of our global economy and it tanking. That challenge I'm speaking about will be this. Should I hold on to my money for my own luxuries and necessities? Or should I contribute to causes that are helping fill the gap within the community, within one's community, created because of COVID-19? You see, I don't think it's a far stretch to say that the Church of Thyatira was wrestling with a similar circumstance. Do I compromise my faith for financial security, or do I live my faith even when it costs me financially? Another way of saying it could be, is life spiritual, trusting God for all provisions, or is life only about self-preservation with no regard for others. Listen, friends, I'm not trying to be cynical nor judgmental this morning, but I do know many a Christian who have successfully compartmentalized their life in such a way that the sacred and the secular can be separated from one another, justifying faith to be something on a personal level, and business and support is only done on a public level. These are real issues that require real answers. And I believe that this is the point of the narrative in Thyatira. You see, apparently, this New Testament Jezebel of the church, if you'll give me permission to reference it that way, offered a code of living that comprised or compromised Christian integrity. In whatever form this was represented, it enticed believers to lower their standards and in so doing, to forsake their loyalty to God. It is important that we see the parallelisms between the church of Thyatira and the current state of our world due to this pandemic. This pandemic has gripped the hearts of many with fear. It has and will continue to entice us, the body of Christ, to lower our Christian standards by withholding the giving of our tithes, time, presence, prayers, and witness. And while I celebrate openly the way this community has responded and rallied together to serve, we also know that this pandemic has impacted the world negatively in more ways than illness and death. And while the future seems very uncertain economically, the same God that reached out to this church in Thyatira is reaching out to us today. So let us be recommitted to our faith, our love of Christ, our love of service, and our perseverance. If you're unable to participate physically in serving the needy at this time, you may still be a source of the solution with your contributions of prayers, finances, and encouragement. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 says, Christ gave himself for us in order to rescue us from every kind of lawless behavior and cleanse us a special people for himself who are eager to do good actions. It's never okay for us to ditch our faith because of the secular situations we find ourselves in. This pandemic doesn't provide an excused absence for Christians to stop being the church. Rather, we are filled with the grace of God to do good deeds for his glory. So may our Lenten discipline this week consists of us dying to all things that encourage compromise of Christian integrity, and may we use our downtime to seek to grow in holiness of heart and witness. That was the code of conduct that Christ encouraged the church of Thyatira to hold on to. It is the same code and conduct God's calling us to today. Our interactions, our time in our prayer closets, our encouragement and our checking up on our neighbors, it's a true expression of the hope we have in Christ. So whatever your conduct might have been this morning when you tuned in, I hope that now it will be more intentional about seeking to be a source of the solution needed to overcome this pandemic and to honor and glorify God. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. What you hear, let it be an end. be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Friends, I know that times are tough, and I want you to know that we at Green Forest United Methodist Church are trying to practice what I just preached about. If this ministry, if this message has blessed you, or the ministries that we're doing in this community are something you want to be a part of as a blessing to all who reside here in the Green Forest area, I want to encourage you to go online and give. You may do so by going to gfunitedmethodistchurch.faithlifesites.com/give. Or you can mail your check to P.O. Box 770 here in Green Forest, Arkansas, zip code 72638. Stay safe, my friends. Use wise judgment and prudence as we continue to seek to protect ourselves from this COVID-19. Now, let me close us in prayer, and I hope you have a great and blessed week. Oh God, we come today and we thank you for the way that you are able to work in and through all situations. I thank you, Lord, that we have been able to be instrumental with other churches in this community to meet the needs of so many. And we ask, God, that you continue to work within our hearts and our minds and our hands and our feet to be a representation of your unconditional, invitational, and transformational love. As we prepare to sign off this morning, may each one continue to worship you in their homes, in their hearts, giving thanks for the many blessings that you have entrusted us to and poured out upon us. And in Jesus' name I pray.